All right, take it away, Michelle.
All right, welcome. If you lose connection at any time, reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use the raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. City staff, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you are asked a question. Public members, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair. Please do not use your video. So I will call the meeting to order at 6:16 p.m. and do a roll call. Shadera Kilfoy Flores.
Present.
Rachel Kincaid. Joshua Hargrove. Did Joshua reach out to anyone this evening about the meeting?
I have no message from Josh.
Okay. And I'm here, and Carlotta Kelmis.
Here.
Thank you. There's no public comment. Are there any disclosures or recusals? Right. Before we get into agenda item one, I wanted to ask if we could get a motion to table agenda item five for the next meeting, which is the discussion of the body-worn camera pilot data analytics. And the reason why is because we have a proposal to invite JP to the next several subcommittee meetings to answer questions related to the strategic plan, and thought that would be an other opportunity while he's present to discuss the body-worn camera analysis. Shadera?
I will make a motion that we chair agenda item number five for our next meeting.
Thanks. Can I get a second? Thank Carlotta. Does a hand raise suffice for a second?
I second.
Oh, thank you. All right, and then there's no objection, so that motion is passed. All right, so agenda item one is a presentation of the continuation of operations plan.
Okay, so I still haven't quite figured out how to attach this onto like the website agenda right before. It's really easy to do that with Legistar, but I can't really do it with these subcommittee agendas. So if anyone is looking for the document, it is on the LIM's homepage. If should be right there, all the documents that we're going over today. So yeah, starting with the continuation of operations plan, I will pull this up and share my screen here in a second. And there we go. Okay. So this is following the presentation that we gave at the last meeting. Basically, I just took what the feedback was as far as the flow of responsibilities and the other items specifically relating to continuing open investigations and the appointment of attorneys and just wrote it out. So at this point, like it if you recall the presentation I gave last month, it's basically the exact same thing, just with the slight addition of more detail in the continuing open investigations for the hiring of a limited term employee. If you it's 3 pages long, so I can go through it again, but I think that the it this should f match everything that everybody heard at the last meeting. I do want to point out some of the specifications here in the LTE, just because I figure this might be worth discussing because these are the items that are specifically relate to the board. Like in the absence of the independent monitor, these two critical aspects are critical services, the continuing open investigations and the appointing attorneys. So if there's no objections, I figured that we could just talk about this part and the rest of it is pretty non-controversial. So the critical services of continuing open investigations and appointing attorneys can't be passed down to the office manager or the data analysts. These are two services that are provided on a case-by-case basis with a great deal of discretion. Therefore, in the event that the independent monitor's extended absence of 1 to 4 months, the Police Civilian Oversight Board will make such decisions. The absence of the IM will effectively freeze any of the investigations that the monitor was conducting prior to their absence. So if there is an exigent need to continue the investigation before the monitor will return, the PCOB will have the opportunity to hire a limited term employee for the specific purpose of preserving the investigation. This is the one part though that I don't think we talked about much, but I realized this as I was writing. So final decisions and conclusions of an OIM investigations, though, are reserved to the independent monitor and cannot be delegated to an LTE. These are going to be, the actual, like they can continue the open investigation, but I don't think we can have an LTE come in and close one because they would be closing on behalf of the office of the independent monitor then. It's one thing if they're just conducting, evidence securing, like they're taking interviews, they're working on something, but when they make a decision on behalf of the office, I feel like that's going a bit beyond the scope of an LTE. So, I don't know. Is there any thoughts on that? Like, am I concerned about something that shouldn't be? I don't know. Was any thoughts? Okay. So the purpose of hiring an LTE is not to open new investigations or to close existing investigations, but to continue the work needed in an investigation that was ongoing at the time the monitor's absence began. Again, this only encompasses an absence of 1 to 4 months. Like after that point, it's like, I can't really plan that far ahead, but at least for this time period, the maximum amount of time that this plan is anticipating is 4 months. The work needed in an investigation may be time sensitive, and this decision, whether an investigation can be paused during the monitor's absence, should be made on a case-by-case basis. As far as that, who's making that decision, that would be the PCOB. So I should actually probably add a little thing just to make that clear. As far as like how to go about this, I don't really know. That's going to be how would the PCOB like to make a decision. So I will leave that up to the PCOB in the event that that happens. I don't expect it'll happen for, anytime soon. So, and it may be a bridge best crossed when we get to it. But at the current stance, that's all that I've written for the opening investigations. And then for appointment of attorneys, that one's pretty easy. Just the chair makes the appointment decisions instead of the IM, in the event that the IM is absent. So, I don't know. I was concerned I might get pushback on this or thoughts, concerns.
No, I mean, there might be some pushback, but I think after, to be honest, Robin, after what we experienced in your absence, I really feel that people will be very supportive, right? Because there were these things that were open, like the hiring and such. And so having those things open, like an investigation or attorneys needing to be appointed, I think this is a really good solution in the absence of an independent monitor.
Okay. Well,
Yeah.
thank you. Sorry, go ahead, Michelle.
Like I kind of appreciate this seems like a protection to the complainants to like make sure that things are thoroughly investigated before the case
Yeah.
is closed.
The idea of like an LTE coming in and opening or closing like an investigation, I feel is just it removes the trust that I think the public would have been putting into the OIM if they were to issue a complaint with OIM. Like, ultimately, I'm the one that they would be like, in this case, I'm saying that I'm the independent monitor at the time of this absence. They would have been talking to me, and they would have been connected with me, and I would have been like, going through this whole process with them and keeping them up to date on the report and, the investigation itself. And then ultimately to have somebody else come in and say, I'm deciding this. It's like there's not a lot of appeal process then for the complainant, because it's if they strongly disagree with it, well, the LTE is a limited term employee anyway, so they have nobody to really complain to because the LTE is not maintaining their job. But if I did something or I made a decision that they strongly disagreed with, then they can go to the PCOB because y'all oversee me. But I feel like the decision making on, like, especially like closing an investigation, I don't think an LTE should have that. Okay. Yeah, then as far as train testing and revision, I'm sorry, I'm skipping around here, but yeah, this was the table that I showed everyone at the last meeting still stands. Everyone is assigned a primary, secondary, and tertiary role. Board backup applies for these two because the IM doesn't have any other backup aside from the board on these. And then for payroll, the data analyst doesn't need to get involved in that because if both I and the office manager aren't available, then there are people in payroll. Train testing and revision, with the exception of the continuing open investigation and appointing attorneys, all the other critical services can be performed by more than one person in the OIM. So staff will be trained across all these critical services and will follow the flow order of critical responsibilities on a daily basis with normal absences. So, for example, on a day that the office manager calls in sick, the independent monitor will then take the primary responsibility that day for the critical service of staffing the PCOB meetings, and the data analyst will take the primary responsibility that day in email correspondence and receiving complaints. These expected absences will provide opportunities to test secondary and tertiary staff members' familiarity with their respective critical services. So, if a secondary is struggling to perform their critical service, the tertiary is there on hand to assist, and the second can then receive additional training in any critical service they need. As far as any kind of revisions, I'll make these revisions to the policy as needed basis, but I'll always present it back here to the Policy and Procedure Subcommittee. So, like, if I need to like make a change right away to this, to get something functional, I'll do that, but then I'll bring it to back to the subcommittee for y'all to review. And that's the end of that presentation. There any questions?
This isn't a question related to the like content of the document itself, but I believe the plan was to vote as a subcommittee to bring this to the full board meeting. Is that
Oh,
correct?
sure. Yeah. Do you sorry, are you making the motion to do that
I
or?
am asking someone because I can't make it, so I'm asking someone if there are no questions to raise a motion to approve this draft to discuss at the next full board meeting. Carlotta?
I so move to make that motion.
Thank you. Shadera?
I'll second that motion.
All right. There's no possibility of opposition, so the motion passes. Thank you for putting, I like the that it's a brief document and covers a lot at the same time. So thank you.
Turn off the share here. There we go.
All right, then moving along to item two, update on the review of MPD's 5-year strategic plan. So I'll share my screen. So a lot of this, I've finally summarized everything we've been talking about in the last couple months into one document. So I don't think it's worth our time to go through the entire document. But I can provide like an overview of what it is. It's also posted on our website now. So there's basically four sections. The first section is breaking down each action item in the strategic plan and identifying action items that the OIM and the board can make to affect outcomes on it, and that we kind of did as a group over the last several months. That is the biggest chunk of this document. One moment. And then the second section is recommended additions to the 5-year strategic plan. So I did want to talk about that this evening. So after reviewing the whole strategic plan, I thought we could recommend a few different things. One is to add a set of action items under a new priority. There's four priorities in the strategic plan, and based on feedback from past meetings and through reviewing the plan, I think there should be a priority of community safety and wellness. And it can include action items around community engagement to gather feedback about actual and perceived safety and wellness in communities, generally and specifically related to community interactions with the police. A second addition that can be made is the ad hoc committee report had 177 very like concrete and specific recommendations. And the strategic plan incorporates about like 24 of those. So there are several recommendations from that report that address community safety and wellness that I think could be added to the strategic plan. We also have questions we've generated over the past several months. And once those are answered, we can identify more action items that we can do to affect community safety and wellness. And then we also need to ensure that the strategic plan addresses use of force training, how trainings affect use of force outcomes, and how the public is communicated to after a use of force situation. So I am now seeking input on any other additions that folks can think of that MPD could consider adding to their strategic plan.
So something that's been coming up a lot in community and where I'm asked most often to get involved is with youth. So I think policing of youth could certainly be something that we take a look at because I don't know about other, members, but that's usually when people, have been upset. In my case, it's been, most because of facilitating Moms on a Mission and having lots of probably much higher than average interaction with youth. That's why I tend to get, quite a bit of questions from youth. And other ad youth advocates, right? So
Okay. That's a good one. One of the goals in their strategic plan is related about or is related to kind of like building trust with youth and whatnot, but I think that there's more that can be added to it.
well, and I know that, usually police try to stay out of politics, but I think, in terms of like recommendations that the board can make, we can make a recommendation that the age of minors that age of 17, like once you're 17 in the state of Wisconsin, you're prosecuted as an adult. And we're only one of three states in the entire country. And to be honest, I think it would mean a lot if it was something that came from MPD. Like we shouldn't be charging these minors as adults. Like I don't know that that's necessarily, MPD's stance on that, but it would be interesting once we have our data analyst to find out just how many youth at 17 are being prosecuted as adults in Dane County and specifically in Madison. We, one second, Robin, I see your hand. We have like a huge, arrest disparity. It's like an 11 to 1 for every 11 Black children or Black minors who are arrested. It's apparently only one white for, and the population in, in Madison is only like 6% Black. So I'm not quite sure in terms of, numbers of for youth, but that might be something that our data analysts, that we as a board, along with our data analysts, could eventually take a look at, because I would love to see that change in Wisconsin, that adults be charged as adults and minors be charged as minors. Not that our the you know not that their 5-year strategic plan, but maybe that's something that MPD would be willing to partner with the PCOB on. Maybe, and certainly, it's something that they enforce, and so maybe it's something that we could talk to, JP, talk to the chief about. What are their thoughts, and what are, what is their experience with arresting and charging 17-year-olds? So,
Thank you. That's super valuable. Robin?
I just wanted to make a clarification in one regard. So the police departments can make arrests, but they don't actually make any charging decisions. That's going to be the DA's office. They can like make recommendations on charging, but as far as whether they would be charged as an adult or not is entirely up to the courts. So like that's something that like there is data that we can like pull for that, but it wouldn't be at MPD. We can still locate that through separate organizations. I'm blanking on their name, but they're it's people that are kind of similar to the Innocent Project, but they specifically are focused on this particular issue of children being tried as adults. So I can locate that and get back to you with that, because there are certainly a lot of like public interest law groups that are leading the forefront specifically in that regard.
Awesome. All right. Yeah, that's a really good recommendation. Are there any other ideas?
I think in terms of like a strategic plan too, the CARES in how can we help to expand the CARES program, like, by making, doesn't matter, maybe making recommendations to be, so I think mental health and youth are two areas what I think of, when you're thinking strategy and who are the most marginalized in our community. So I think recommended actions around mental health too.
All right,
I
thanks.
know, specifically around CARES. CARES only operates from 8 to 4, Monday through Friday. Unfortunately, most people who are experiencing mental health crisis don't always have them between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. They tend to be after 4 p.m., so possibly a recommendation of extended hours, weekend hours, something like that. And, if that means we advocate for more funding, then, that has been another observation of mine with friends and family who've had mental health issues, is that CARES is not always available so when that happens.
Yeah. That's a really good one. There are some action items in the strategic plan to address mental health, but care specifically is not like a specific item, so that's worth recommending. All right. If there's no other input on that section, the third section is questions for MPD about their 5-year strategic plan. And we've generated these questions in months prior. And JP does have a copy of them. We thought what might be best to get these questions answered is to invite JP to the next several committee meetings and focus on questions like broken down by goals. And I think starting with goal one is fine. I think the action items in goal one seem to take priority for me, at least. It's stuff about use of force training, and things like that. So Robin said that they'll talk to JP about the questions and invite JP to our next couple of meetings. And then finally is the considerations for data analysis. So I want input on this, and first I'll review the list we came up with before. So we came up with data around fidelity of MPD's evidence-based policing practices, data around racial bias in policing, data around use of force incidents in training, data related to CARES calls and how that affects policing, data around the implementation of the body-worn cameras, and data related to protest management. Are there any other ideas that we could add to this tonight? I think also as JP comes to the next several sessions, we'll have more like clarity and probably come up with even more questions and ideas for data analysis. Robin?
I just wanted to let everyone know. I remembered the name of that group. It's called the Juvenile Law Center, but they have been compiling data on this since like the 70s. So it would be a really great resource that we could look into specifically for those questions that Shadara raised. I sent a link to it to everyone here, but I just want to include that in the recording.
Okay, thank you. Carlotta?
Excuse me, I'm still dealing with this bug. Do we need to make any note of data around, and I don't know if it's germane to this section, data around the we just had a conversation about it. My mind is not working tonight. Data around the number or the amount of cases that have been referred for prosecution by the district attorney of youth.
Okay.
Does that, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Did you say cases deferred?
Yeah, remember we just had the conversation about that the district attorney is the one that determines
I think
whether
both, you could put both prosecuted, yeah, prosecuted and deferred.
yes.
Thank you for
for
a lot of
such
that's a
a great
great idea.
time. No, I you know, my word wasn't meant deferred, but deferred is important. I was thinking referred for prosecuting, but you're right. I think we could say deferred and referred
Okay.
to the program when for deferral prosecution. Yeah. Did that make sense, anybody?
Yeah, I think I understood you. So, data around youth cases that are both deferred and prosecuted by the d district attorneys, right?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, that's what I have for the strategic plan. Unless there's any other questions or comments. Okay, then we can move along to item three, which is policy for confirming quorum 24 hours before meetings. Robin, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Thank you.
I thought we were just reading quietly to ourselves. I didn't even notice.
Neither did I.
it's not a complicated, policy here, but essentially got this idea because I think Mike had mentioned that PSRC does this, and but it was an unwritten policy. It was just like a unwritten policy that at one point got like mentioned in a resolution, and it was just a unrelated conversation. But then I was like, no, that actually sounds great. Like, why don't we write it out? So essentially the plan is just that those reminder emails that we send out the day of the meeting, we're going to send that out a little bit earlier. And then the goal is that you respond to that whether or not you're going to be there as soon as you can. But the if we don't hear a response by the day of the meeting, then we'll send out a quick reminder email that morning. But if we don't hear a response by noon, then we're going to expect that that's an absence. And if we don't have enough members to make quorum, then the upcoming meeting would be canceled and we can send out the notice to everyone. This just me will assist in making sure that we're not sitting around waiting to make quorum and then not making quorum. And it also gets a little bit more active buy-in, I guess, as far as like the members to say I'm going to be there and then they will be there. It just adds a bit more commitment to this. So that's all this really is it's basically just a policy of we're going to send you an email, please respond. And this is what happens if not enough emails come back. Yeah, I'm honestly a little embarrassed at how wordy it is. Is there any questions, concerns, comments?
I like it. I just want to like kind of verify then. So then after like from noon to six for our attendance policy, would folks like still have like that opportunity to check in with the chair of the respective committee to get it excused or not?
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that. It's just a matter of like this is to determine like up till like the day of the meeting, like if we're gonna make quorum or not. So it's like essentially like if somebody says that they aren't gonna be at the meeting or that they don't respond that they're gonna be at the meeting all the way through, they never respond to the email, we're going to count that as like they're not gonna be there at the meeting in determining whether or not to hold the meeting. If they still show up at the meeting, then that's still attendance, or if they text us like beforehand and let us know what's going on, then that can still be excused. This is just a matter of like how the OIM like makes that decision whether or not to hit cancel.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, like if we want to bring this all the way up to the full board, it's literally just we're gonna send an email back and forth. So I don't know. At the very least, it's just a little presentation. It's up to y'all what you would like to do with it. But this is what we were gonna do anyway, but
I make a motion to adopt this by the P&P subcommittee and for it to move forward to the full board to be adopted.
okay.
Thank you. I really like this, Robin.
Sure.
Carlotta?
I second the motion.
Thank you. And then without opposition, the motion's passed.
Lot of motions this meeting.
Yeah, we're moving along. It's not even 7.
All
right.
right. Sorry. Close my share.
Okay, and then we can move on to the final item this evening, which is discussion of procedure for annual chief review.
Oh, I wish I had more on that. I don't have anything on that today. I promise I will get more on that for the rest of everybody.
I at the last meeting we talked about getting a co or maybe 2 meetings ago we talked about getting a copy of the Oakland procedure just to review, not to like adopt or mimic or anything, just to look at. And I did find a copy of that I can forward along to folks.
That sounds really good. I think that we should leave this on the agenda, so that we have time to review. So this week review or this month do review around that, and then potentially next month does have more of a process in place for creating that.
Sounds good to me. Robin?
So just to clarify, is that a motion to table?
Ah.
It sounds like I just wanted to make sure that that's what we're doing, or if it's
Well,
not.
just so we don't necessarily take any action on it tonight, other than that we look at the email from Michelle.
Okay. Yeah, if we don't want to make a motion, but that's fine. I just wanted to clarify. It sounded like that's what you were saying, but I didn't know if that was or not. Sorry.
Carlotta?
Yeah, I was just going to ask for clarification on that, whether or not that was a motion also. So
I was gonna say, I don't think we necessarily need a motion, but I can certainly make a motion that we
no, I think I was more concerned about getting the document distributed so that we could review it, and but I didn't know if we needed to make a motion to say that we would table the Oakland evaluation document at a later time. I didn't know that.
Oh. I'm entirely open. If you feel ready to go over it tonight, Michelle, then absolutely, by all means, share it with us and go over it. If not, I will make a motion to table it.
All right. I'm definitely not prepared to like share and go over that report as a group, but I can just like send it to Robin to distribute to all of us to review for next meeting. And the agenda item today is just discussion of the our procedure to review our chief. And so I think that's a good starting point. And I don't see a need to make a motion to table the item.
Perfect.
Carlotta?
I would agree with that.
Okay. All right. Well, if there's no other discussion, discussion on that item, can I get a motion to adjourn? Carlotta?
I could make that motion too. I move that we adjourn.
Thank you. Shadeira?
I will second Carlotta's emotion. Motion.
All right, motion passed and our meeting's adjourned at 6:55. Thank you, everyone. Bye.